Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 28 of Matthew, chapter 11. These are the words of the Lord Jesus while he was upon the world. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now at this point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus in this gospel, you will find a very distinct change. Up until this point, the Lord Jesus has been presenting his credentials to the people that he was God out of heaven. He was God's Christ. And he had come to be their Messiah, their Savior, their Lord, to be their God. But they rejected those credentials. They closed their eyes to them. They didn't believe what he said. Just like when people come to meetings like this at times, they listen to the preaching and they say, well, that's their religion, that's their way of living. And that's just exactly what they said about the Savior and about his disciples. Well, that's just their way of looking at it. In fact, they went so far as to say about the Lord Jesus that he's an impostor. He can't be who he says he is. But he proved himself to be the Savior, the Son of God. And now the Lord Jesus begins to change. And rather than appealing to the nation that he would be their king, he begins to touch the consciences of individuals, just like you have experienced in the first part of this meeting. God touching your conscience. How will I ever face God? And as you move through the passage, this 11th chapter, and go upward to the time of the Lord's death, you will find the Lord Jesus in his parables, the stories that he used to teach the people. He constantly brought before them the end times. The end is drawing near. Your time is left out. And in the context of that sentiment in his soul, the burden that was upon him, he cried these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He knew what the people were laboring under. And that's really the concern of our little text tonight. The concern of the Lord Jesus is the burden that the people were bearing. Now, in this particular day, the burden that the people were bearing was a burden of legalistic, self-righteous works in order to be right with God. Now, mind you, that religion is not dead yet. People are still bearing that burden. They're trying to be right with God by disciplining themselves religiously and hoping that that will bring rest and bring them peace and give them a standing with God. And they're laboring over it. They're working so hard at it. And the Lord Jesus, he saw those dear people and his heart went out to them because he knew that man can never be right with God by the works and the devotions and the religious labors of his own hands. And so the Lord Jesus presented himself to them, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. What a lovely text of invitation for men that are laboring to get right with God. And you've labored for years, you've tried so often, you perhaps even since you began coming to these meetings, as is often the case, when people come and they hear the preaching of the truth of God regarding judgment to come, and regarding their meeting with God, they begin to shake up their life a little. And they'll stop doing this, and they'll stop saying the other thing, and they'll try to be a little more devoted in their religious activity, and they burden themselves more. All the time the Lord Jesus is being presented in the gospel, and he says to people just like that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the burden lifter. Ah, the only hand that can lift the burden under which you're laboring and can never receive peace is the hand of the Lord Jesus alone. He can lift that burden, friend. There are other people that were bearing other burdens. In fact, in the audience that day, there was a lady, or a woman. She wasn't really a lady. She had a bad character. And she was on the fringe of that crowd somewhere. And the Lord Jesus began to lift his voice up to the people. In his heart of compassion for them, he saw that sin had marred their lives. He saw that they feared to meet God as they were. And he addressed himself to them, the loving Savior from heaven. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there was a dear, broken-hearted woman there with a sin burden of life. I do not know how long she bore the burden of a consciousness of guilt and shame and fear of meeting her God because of her sin. But that day when she heard the Lord Jesus, the very first time she heard the invitation, she responded and took the Lord Jesus at his word. And you know, when I read over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, I see that woman. After the Lord Jesus preached like this, he went to a man's home for dinner that evening. And while he was there, seated at his dinner, this woman came in through the side entrance, and she came up to the Lord Jesus, and she bowed at his feet, and she began to weep on his feet, and he take his feet in her hands, and he kissed them, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She had found rest. The Lord Jesus was as good as his word, and that poor, sinning, broken woman found peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. She took him at his word, and he was willing to give peace to broken-hearted sinners. My, how she appreciated it. And she bowed his feet and gladly embraced those lovely feet that had crossed the pathway, and she heard his voice, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My, I wonder if there's one in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're not burdened with self-righteous religious occupation, and you know that there's sin in your life that you're ashamed of, and you know that there's things that you're holding against hope somehow will be kept buried, and God will never expose them. But after what you've heard tonight, you're very conscious. I'm going to meet God and he's going to bring it all out in the open. Oh, I hope tonight there's a sin-burdened heart here who would long love, peace, and rest. Let me say to you, dear sinner, with a bad conscience before God, there's one who knows the desperation of your need, and he's the only one that can give you a righteous and lasting peace with God, the Lord Jesus himself. And he says, sin is burdened hearts, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me just say to you, friend, that burden that you're bearing was the very reason for which the Son of God stooped out of the glorious heaven. The only possible manner that your burden could be lifted, the Son of God must come from amidst the praises of angels, from amidst the splendor of unstained glory by sin in heaven. He came, and he came into these scenes. We're all stained by man's sin, as you well know. Broken hearts on every hand. Hospitals, jails, cemeteries. The earth reeks with the sorrow of sin. And into that scene, the blessed Son of God came. What promise alone? What move did it come from heaven to earth? Your burden and my burden. Oh, well, I remember the burden of sin I bore. Indeed, I had a burden, and it weighed me down. And I thank God for the Sunday night when the burden lifter lifted my burden, blessed Savior. But I want to tell you, brother, man, it was your burden of sin and shame and need that led the Lord Jesus to go away to Calvary. To endure the spitting of upon his lovely face and never answered back. That awful life they spent at the hands of rude and ignorant men, when they dare to get their fists and to pummel the face of the Savior and bruise his lovely cheek and tear from his cheek the beard that he had grown, and they tore the skin of his face and spit in his face and led him away. Yes, and when they lacerated his back with their own scourge and brought down upon him and tore the flesh from the very bones of his back, he answered never a word. What moved the Savior to such meekness? What moved the Son of God to suffer the man? Oh, let it into your heart tonight. This burden that you're bearing was the reason that he came and the reason that he suffered. The only possible manner that heaven's throne could find satisfaction for your sin and be willing and able to save you and me, the poor, guilty sinners. The Savior must suffer. And he must go to Golgotha and have his hands nailed upon that bloody tree. Crucified, afflicted to the gaze of men as a spectacle of shame. The Savior accomplished a work that could be accomplished no other way. What work, friend? The ability to lift the burden of sins. The ability to get peace and rest the sinners. My friend, on the basis of Calvary's sacrifice, on the basis of the Savior's precious life's blood, so willingly given, on the basis of a sacrifice that God accepted, the Lord Jesus says tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now as I read this chapter, and I hear the call of the Savior, oh, what a lovely call. I wonder if you're a sinner here tonight, and you hear the call of the Savior, and it touches your heart, and perhaps brings a tear to your eye, and you say within your heart, oh, I wish that I could come. I wish that I could know that rest. Oh, God, I'd give anything to know that the burden's lifted. The burden is gone, and I'm not afraid to meet God. My sins are forgiven. My soul is delivered from condemnation and everlasting death. Oh, what a blessed message. Heed the language of the Savior again, friend. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, the hands that are outstretched in welcome and invitation to sinners tonight are marked by the cruel nails of Calvary. They are proof to your soul that of the willingness of his love to receive all that come. If that sinful woman could come, I ask you, cannot you come tonight in response to the Savior's willing invitation to you? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now as I look down this chapter, I find that there are four classes of hearers, four classes of people that hear and respond in various ways to the call of the Lord Jesus. And I would like you to notice them. And my friend, I hope you're in the last one that I'm going to mention tonight. I hope that there's a sinner in this audience. And from the depth of your heart, you would gladly say, I come. I come. Perhaps you're asking, how can I come? You know the way the Lord Jesus told these people to come? Look at the text. Listen to it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do we tell them to come? To come with your burden. Don't try to get rid of your burden and then come. You'll never come at all. Don't try to stop laboring and then come. Come just like you are, in all your need, in all your helplessness, in all your shame of face. You're ashamed to look the Savior in the eye. You know that he should have cut you down long ago and let you go down to hell. Oh, all the thought that you should sink beneath the waves of the dam forever and ever, and you know what you deserve. And yet he says, come unto me tonight. Come just as you are, in all your burden, in all your defilement, with all your history of the sinner. He says, you come, I'll do all of that. He lifts the burden, he cleanses the record, and I want to tell you, he changes the sinner. And a man that never knows the change and the power of the gospel in his life is not saved yet. It's a real thing to be saved. And I want to say, friend, if you ever get to know the grace and the power of the salvation that the Lord Jesus gives, you never want to be saved again. Thank God. My useful tonight. What a burden is lifted. What a tremendous liberation. What an emancipation. That's really the thought. There's slaves in this verse, and they're emancipated. They're set free, and the shackles are broken, and they stand in liberty. Liberty from the bondage of sin, and of devil, and of condemnation. What a great Savior. Come unto me, all of you that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, friend, we proved it, and we would with all our heart endeavor to entreat you tonight to respond to the Lord Jesus. While you're there, come as that sinful woman came on the fringes of the crowd. You don't have to raise your hand. You need not shed a tear. You need not put the flesh. That dear woman didn't make her way through the crowd and come up to the Lord Jesus and get down on her knees and beg forgiveness. Where she was in the fringe of that crowd somewhere, in her heart, she responded to the Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord, I come. And she received the forgiveness of her sins. Oh, my friend, tonight, let me say to you, wherever you be, in this little building, men and women have been saved, sitting on seats, in this very hall, perhaps at home, in their room, perhaps in the automobile, on their way home, or to the gospel meeting. My friend tonight, you need not come forward here. I can do nothing more for you than mess up your hair or something like that. That's all I could do. I could not lay my hand upon you with blessings. But I want to say to you, the Lord Jesus, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first class of hearers that's found is in verse 2 and 3. And here we find the picture of a guilty sinner. You will notice the language of verse 3. This man said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Is this for, are you for real? Oh, I wonder if there's some listening to me tonight, and you're saying to yourself, I'm not so sure about this business. I'm not so sure that this is the real thing. Oh, my friend, let me say to you the answer of the Lord Jesus was to that man. You go and tell him what I've done. You go and tell him now what I've done. And my friend, that's what we've been endeavoring to do. When we endeavor to dispel all your doubts tonight, and tell you that the Son of God loves you, he has gone to Calvary to answer to God for the debt of your sin, which you could never pay. And the precious blood that stained Golgotha's tree, and the wounds in the hands, and feet inside of the Son of God, a proof that this is he. He's able to keep his word. He's willing to save the sinner, if only the sinner would bow their will and obey the invitation and come just as they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the moment that a poor, repentant sinner turns their heart from their repentance and responds to the Lord Jesus, their eyes are open, and they're able to see for the first time in their life that when the Savior died at Calvary, he died to lift my burden. My, we've seen it even in these meetings. And souls for all eternity will bless the Lord Jesus for having gone to the cross and borne their burden and paid their debt and invited them to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't doubt him. When you come to verse 16 and 17, you'll find another class of people. These people doubted the reality of what the Savior said. And the Lord Jesus gives an illustration. In the Eastern time when there was a wedding, they would hire a band. Just like we do today, a lot of places, a lot of worldly places. They invite the creditor to come, and then what would happen? That the children would leave, they'd play wedding. You know, they'd go down to the market where their mother and father were shopping, and the children would play games. One game they'd play was they'd play wedding. And so one night he'd be bad. And so he'd play on his little group, but the other fellow wouldn't dance. And he'd have his children. So then they changed the game, and they said, well, let's play funeral. And so the fellow would play the Lord for food and the funeral birds, and the others would cry. See, they didn't believe it was real. It wasn't a real wedding, and it wasn't a real funeral, so they didn't respond. Well, that's just like people in the gospel meeting. The Lord Jesus said that just like the people that are listening to me. They don't believe it's real, that they're going to stand before God. I want to say to your young person, older person in this meeting tonight, I do not know what we can say to make it real to you. But I want to tell you it's real. You'll meet God in your sin unless you obey my testimony. The language of the Lord Jesus, come to save you for your salvation. You'll meet God in your sin. It's for real. It's for real. But there's another class of hearers in this chapter, and the Lord Jesus describes them as he speaks of the three cities of Bethsaida and of Capernaum that he mentions here, and in verses 21 and 22 and 23. He speaks of these three cities here and three Old Testament cities. Three of the Old Testament cities had been destroyed by God because they had doubted the time of their visitation. God had visited them, they took no notice to them, so God buried them. And every one of the three Old Testament cities mentioned here are literally buried today. Right today, they're still buried. The three New Testament cities in which the Lord Jesus labored, and the call of his invitation was heard, they weren't responding either. They doubted that this was the time that they should do anything about it. They thought there would be another day. And that's why the Lord Jesus so tenderly and yet with tears of compassion and grief in his heart, he yearned that these cities would turn. They did not know the time of their visitation. I fear that there are those in these gospel meetings, and the great likelihood is the last night will come and you'll still be in your sin. Because you did not believe God that this is the time that you should have come. They doubted. In verse 25, I read of a third class, a fourth class, the little children. The Lord Jesus is praying, and he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, those that were simple enough just to believe them. That's the kind of people that get God's salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor. That's broad enough to take every sinner in this meeting tonight. There's not a reason in the whole world, friends, for anyone to leave this audience tonight on the way to hell. Christ has paid enough. In fact, the Bible says, for the whole world, thy God, we can tell it everywhere. And with all our being tonight, we would implore you, young man, don't go home on the way to hell to meet God in your sin. Come in response to the Lord Jesus. Come tonight as a little child. Be willing, be simple, just to take him at his word. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, precious, if you could go home tonight, rejoicing in the gift of the Lord Jesus, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Open wise tonight, dear sinner, we implore you. Heed the invitation of the Savior that loves you, who knows the reality of eternal matters, and he appeals to you tonight through the word of his grace. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we We appeal to thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to make thy word real to the hearts of sinners. We know that they are blinded, some of them willingly. How sad. Some for years have closed their mind and their ears to thy word, and they're drifting along the road to that awful day when thou hast said that sinners will stand before God and they have no hope. We would tonight that they would open their ears and hearken to the Savior that loves them so tenderly and so patiently, and even tonight would take them after all these years of resistance and gladly lift their burden and save their souls. We pray then, for the sake of thy Son who is worthy, that thou wilt take thy word, feebly expressed we know, yet we thank thee the word in itself is enough, and we ask thee to bless it for the Lord Jesus' sake, unto the deliverance and salvation of sinners in our gathering tonight, in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. In the verse or two, please, of hymn number 63. Remember the meetings that have been announced. If our Lord Jesus has not come, and we sincerely appreciate the effort of all who have come tonight, we trust, dear friend, if you have any questions, or if you have a desire for God's salvation, whatever you do, don't be afraid to ask us. That's why we're here. We'd gladly sit with you and show you what the Bible says, and trust that even tonight some sinner will lay down their stubborn will, and in the language of this hymn, will say, I come, I come. Just the first two and the last verses of number 63, and the meeting is dismissed.